Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. On this week's show, we are talking to Connie Albers. Connie is a homeschool mom. She's the author of a new book that's actually coming out in April of 2019 called Parenting Beyond the Rules, Raising Teens with Confidence and Joy. And Connie, welcome. We are so very excited to have you on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Yay!
Hey, Yvette, I am excited to be here with you. I love when we can get together and chat.
Yes, we chat a lot.
I think that's good for our soul,
Yvette. Oh, I do. Well, you are very much one of those Titus II women in my life because you kind of lived my life, but several years, well, actually not several years, but a few years before I did. You're not that much older than me. But So we met last year in Greenville, and this was kind of a, I still can picture our meeting. It was really funny. We were walking through the Great Homeschool Convention, and we're walking through interviewing people, and we had our camera with us, and you had heard about Schoolhouse Rocked and that we were there filming for it, and you were in your booth, and I want to say it was probably sometime like late or early afternoon or so. And you kind of jumped out at us and you said, "Hey, you guys are the ones filming the documentary on homeschooling." And we were like, "Yes." And we like instantly made a connection. And
it's that extrovert in me. You know, you gotta talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. It was the greatest attack we've ever had. And so we had scheduled to interview Colleen Kessler that night, and you and Colleen were friends. So Colleen had told you about us and what we were doing. And so we were like, "Well, can we interview you too?" And so anyway, of course you said yes. You ended up coming back to our hotel suite where we were doing our kind of a more official interviews, and got to just spend the rest of that evening with you and Colleen. And we had so much fun with the two of you. And then, you know, we sat there and got to interview you and talk to you about so many things regarding homeschooling. So I want to tell our listeners really quickly, because for those who don't know you, a little bit about your family, and then they'll understand kind of why we jumped on board with you and said, "We need you to be part of this movie."
Oh, well, I'm honored. It is true. I did see you guys come in and I was so jazzed because I love the mission behind what you're doing. I love the heart that you and Garrett have to equip and support homeschoolers, the next generation of homeschoolers. So I'm a homeschool mom of five, and I had the privilege of homeschooling for 21 years. It's hard to believe that we homeschooled all five of the kids from kindergarten all the way through till we turned the tassel on the fifth child. And it was a pretty celebratory moment for us. And the fact that throughout my homeschool journey, I was on the kind of like the administrative, the policy side. I wanted to make sure homeschoolers had the right to choose what educational, you know, model was good for their child. And it wasn't so much that homeschooling was the only way, but it was for our family. And I wanted it to be an option for any family across the United States that felt like that was the best option for their family too. And so I spent the, you know, last 27 years working on making sure policies are in place, working with leadership, working on state homeschool organizations and leadership organizations, and connecting. I love connecting with people like you guys. And I love connecting with homeschoolers, and I love connecting leaders with the homeschoolers. So it's just been an absolute joy for me.
Yeah, it's been fun. I know you know a lot of people. Like you said, you've been around the homeschool world for a long time. And I know you've had a hand in a whole lot of what has gone on with homeschooling. So you've seen the evolution of homeschooling going from where, you know, it in some states it wasn't even legal to it becoming legalized. And you were, you know, 27 years ago, back when, you know, a homeschool convention consisted of maybe a few tables in a church and very little curriculum, very little to choose from, to what it has become today. And you speak at homeschool conventions all across the country. So you've really seen what it has become. And I know that you've had a great hand in helping to move that forward. And so, you know, I think sometimes we forget as homeschool moms and dads today that it was very, very different many years ago. It was nothing like it is now.
You know, yeah. That's true. I don't mean to cut you off, but you're yeah. right. It was very different, but you know what's the same? The exact same fears existed when I began that exist with you. The fear of not being able to do enough or not going to do it right or ruining your child or never having enough time to get it all done or getting so busy and distracting and running around that the kids get the crumbs and the husbands, you know, they don't get anything. They're starving.
Right.
So those issues, I think, Yvette, is what's really compelled me to stay in the movement. And it's definitely what has led me to write this book. I see as homeschoolers, we have this amazing opportunity to build fabulous relationships with our children because we're with them. But because we're with them, we can also really start to become detached. We can become short-fused with each other. We can start to lose the joy of what it means to have these little blessings. And I have seen this happen so much because we've worked with teens and college kids now for, well, about 30 years. And I had to keep saying, we can celebrate the teen years. We can celebrate this time with our children. We can educate them. There's enough resources available to educate them. We're not going to ruin them. What we will do is hurt or harm if we're not paying attention to the relationships within our family. And if we're not really picking up on how God made and wired and formed each of our children, because homeschooling is a tailor-made education.
Oh, sure.
And I, you know, with my five kids, I've got an artist, I've got an engineer, I've got a videographer, I've got a restaurateur, I've got a communications type of child. So they're like all over the place. And the way that homeschooling has allowed me to teach my children the way they learn, which is really important, but it's also given me the opportunity, and it gives all of your listeners, and that's my message. I want to just be that kind of megaphone saying, listen, you can do this, and you can do it excellently, and you can do it exceptionally, and you can keep the kids, your child's heart, as you educate them in the way that they're made with the gifts and talents and strengths that they've been given. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's such a powerful part of homeschooling. You know, when kids are in a regular, you know, traditional school, there are a whole lot of excellent teachers out there, but they have to teach a specific way. And, you know, we know now every kid has a different learning style. They all have a different bent. God has created them all differently. And so it does not work to have a cookie cutter education for a whole classroom full of several kids, nor does it work that way. You know, as you said, with five kids, they're all, I only have two kids and they're both, they're different as night and day. And so it is definitely one of the blessings and benefits of being able to homeschool is that you get to learn what your child enjoys, how God has made them special, and then you get to help foster that in them, you know, whether it's music or sports or the arts or, you know, science, history, engineering, whatever it is, you get to be the one to help them pursue those passions and interests that God has instilled in them. And do it according to their learning style, because it's not possible, no matter how much a teacher in a classroom wants to be able to do that with her kids, it's simply not possible to be able to do that. And, it's so much fun to be able to be that one that gets to watch that light bulb go on in their eyes when they realize, oh, I'm really good at art, or I'm really good at cooking, or, you know, whatever that thing is. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. Every time I speak, one of the topics I like to talk a lot on social media, because I see how that is seriously impacting our families. It used to be you could insulate somewhat some of the negative influences in society. You can't anymore. It's just not possible because devices have ushered that right in. And every time I speak, when I ask this question, how many of you have multiple children? You know, you don't have to have five like I do, but just how many have more than one child? You know, everybody raises their hand. I'm like, okay, how many children are just like you? And they put the hands down, and I say, okay, let's try it again. How many of your children are just alike? And no hands are up. Right. I mean, it's just, they're different. They're God formed and fashioned for a unique purpose.
That's right.
You know, my daughter, who is this artist, she learned differently, and she has more artistic ability.
Oh, she's amazing.
Finger,
yeah,
and I have in my whole body. But God does this amazing thing when we show up and we're faithful. Mm. I mean, every day we just get up, you know, before we get up, it's like, God, armor me up for today, because I'm sure somebody's going to battle with me. Somebody's not going to want to do math. Somebody's not going to do reading. Somebody's not going to want to do something. It's just the nature of, you know, life, sure, and little humans. But it's kind of fun because God will take us, you and me, Yvette. We're ill-equipped women, right? Amen. We're imperfect, ill-equipped. And the beauty is when God says, show up and let me use you. And we're like, okay, here we go. Let's do it. I'm getting my shoes on.
Yeah.
And putting my hair in a ponytail and off we go.
I love that. I love realizing that we're ill-equipped, as ridiculous as that sounds, because the good news is, we don't have to know it all. We don't have to figure it all out. We get to go to the Lord with it. And, you know, like you said, He's going to equip us with everything that we need in order to be able to homeschool our kids, and to not just to homeschool them, to raise them, and to raise them in a godly way. And, you know, we're a mess on our own, and we couldn't possibly do it. But if we thought that we could do it and then realized that we were failing, there would just be no, we would have no reason for hope in Jesus and hope in His strength and power to get us through the day and get us through this whole journey of parenting.
Yeah. True story. I have to tell you, I was so passionate about mentoring. I had been working with an organization. I was mentoring moms and kind of helping them, you know, get their little child on a schedule and a routine and, you know, just acclimate to the calling of being a mom, which, you know, unfortunately, that's not taught. It's just not taught like it used to be. And so I loved being that mentor. And I started to think, oh, my little ducks were doing so well, I must have this mastered. And I'm talking to all these women. Now, this is a while ago, right? Then I had child number five. And child number five gave me, or I should say still gives me, a run for my money. I mean, this child wanted to be the last one to go to bed and the first one to get up every single day. He had this massive fear of FOMO. He didn't want to miss out on anything that was happening in our family. And he was a real, I couldn't get him on a schedule. He had his own time and it was going to be his time. And it kind of broke me, Yvette, because I realized I was measuring my mothering abilities on how my children performed. And I had some great kids that were compliant. And frankly, that they just made me look good. And right. Then I had some that were a little tougher. And I realized, ooh, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I kind of took some time off and I thought, okay, God, you got to work on me. And we certainly need to work on this child, because I don't want them to be showpieces. Our witness is not on their behavior. Our witness and our family is based on our relationship and our heart. And is their heart bent toward the Lord? And is their heart bent toward their parents? And that's what I try to talk about. I think it's really important that we have, I know you and I've talked about this before, you mentioned it when we first started, about mentoring. You know, I am a woman who has my hand constantly stretched out to mentor those that are coming up behind me. But my hand is also outstretched because I'm in another season, you know, and I think as women, that's what we are called to be. I mean, God tells us that we need to be that way. And that's kind of a fun place to be in, where I get to encourage moms like you and moms that are, and I have a lot of young mothers that are in their 20s, and you know, they just need a little bit of help. And once they get their bearings, then they're on their way. But I've learned a lot over the course of parenting these five little humans. And I've really learned that we've got to be transparent and open.
Oh, sure.
And encourage them that our home is a safe place for them to express their hurt or their frustration or their disappointment. And when we create that safe home, that safe environment for them, You know, we're really creating trust. And when we have that established, then they are more vulnerable with us. And when they become more vulnerable, a whole bunch of things happen, and physically and emotionally with them. When we are open and they know they can come to us, when we've wounded them, maybe we've had a bad day. I mean, let's face it. When you're living with these people all the time, somebody's going to have a bad day.
Yeah.
Somebody might not be so gracious and kind as much as we would like to be. They can irritate us. And we can irritate them.
Sure.
And so when we foster that openness and we develop that trust, then there's a sense of vulnerability. But we can't get that from them. We have it when they're children, when they're very young,
right.
We have that. But it's as they start moving into the upper elementary and the middle school years that's where we can start really doing some damage in our relationship, because we've got to get math done. We've got to get history done.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got math done once this week. We need to do it 5 times this week. You're going to be doing it all summer long if you don't get at this. My kids will tell you, I love tasks. I love tasks. I love checklists. It helps keep everybody on board. And there is value in that. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we can't just be free-willed,
sure,
wheeling, because then literally some children wouldn't do anything. They need a little nudge. But when we're doing that, then we can be attentive to the Lord and listening to what He whispers in our ear about maybe something a child is struggling with. So I'm sorry to ramble.
I think that's great. And I would love to kind of branch off of that. And can you give us more practical stuff? Cause you know, your new book that's coming out is called,
yes,
Parenting Beyond the Rules, Raising Teens with Confidence and Joy. And I know, you know, one of the things I know about you and your family and your kids is that you have a great relationship with all 5 of your adult children, which seems very rare today. It seems like, you know, adult children, even if they get along with their parents, they have their own life and they're, you know, they just move on.
Yeah.
And it's not like that with now. You've got kids who are married, kids who are getting married, those,
yeah,
who are not yet married, but you have a great relationship with them and they have a great relationship with one another. And how did you, as you had them and as, you know, starting from a young age, how did you foster that in them and get to the point where now as adults, because, you know, Garrett and I have talked many times, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. They're only going to be children for a very short time in their lives. They're going to be adults a whole lot longer. And I want to have that relationship with my girls, you know, as they're growing up. I want to be the one that they get to come to and confide in and just have a friendship with. How did you do that with them?
I love what you just said. It started in 2 places. The first thing I would tell the listeners is pay attention. And here's what they need to pay attention to. When I had the kids, I literally thought, what do I want these relationships to be like when my children are 20-something? Do I want them to come home for Christmas because mom will be mad if they don't?
Mm-hmm.
Will they have to show up for holidays? Or birthdays because I call them and say, are you coming? I didn't want to be a guilt-ridden mother. I wanted my kids to want to do life with us, literally. And so in order for that to happen, I had to pay attention to today. That today, mm-hmm, started when they were little, but it was every day. Every day I knew what that goal was. I knew I was reaching toward having them want to have relationships. So how do I break that down? I would listen to little things that they would say about each other. And I'll give Paul and Jeannie as an example, my oldest 2, I write about them. Paul's an engineer, so he's a left brain. And you know, your listeners may be wondering, what's a left brain? Mm-hmm. They're your logical, sequential. They usually can get things academically rather quickly. Math and science was his thing. He took the SAT, the ACT once, scored super high and says, I'm done. Now, Jeannie, on the other hand, is artistic. She's recently had, I think, 4 or 5 images now published in Vogue magazine. Mm. she was invited to a gala with Tim Tebow, and she had a painting she had painted, and it was the highest painting that had ever auctioned off there. It was, wow, just phenomenal. So I have, and Jeannie's a right brain because she's artistic. She has to feel it and taste it and think about it. And so practically what we did is when they were younger, like really young, we would work on skills that they would do together. But I would specifically watch what they do and how they do it. And I would just make a little note in a book that I had. And I created, it was called Albers in Action. And it was just a little book that I created for our family. And I would just jot things down. And I would specifically set them up to have successful playtime. And people are thinking, what does that mean? Well, it means in academic realm, it means I didn't teach them, I didn't make them do certain school subjects together because they clashed. He could be done in 5 minutes and be outside playing basketball. She would take 4 hours,
right?
Because she had to look at the costume and taste the food and on, you know, on it goes. And it continued like that. And what would happen is they were getting resentful. Mm. He did not appreciate her giftings. She felt stupid because she couldn't be done in 5 minutes.
Mm.
And I watched that and I started to then affirm them. So affirm your child's giftedness, their strengths, the things that you see that they do well, and talk freely about them. That is really important, especially if you have a natural learner, because all the other kids then feel inferior. And so you have to sit there and we would say, you know, Paul, you're good in math and science. This is really good. Well, Jeannie's really good in math and science, but it takes her a long time to do it. And I started to recognize that wasn't going to be her field. This mm-hmm. was going to be her field. Hey, Paul, you need to watch how Jeannie does this. And I did it with each of the children. So every season, so when we hit the middle school years, that's when, you know, identities are really starting to be shaky. And I always said, we are the Albers family. We are the Albers. And that meant something because of that three things kids absolutely need from scientific research, psychological research. They need to feel safe. They need to feel like they belong and they need to know where their identity is. Now, honestly, their identity lies in Christ, right?
Right.
But on earth, their identity lies within this family. Mm-hmm. This is my safe place. I belong with these people, which is why so many people get involved with gangs or their peer groups
sure.
become so powerful because they're not feeling like their awkwardness is melding within the family. And when a mom and a dad is intentional about saying, oh, no, you fit right here.
Mm-hmm.
Those gifts and strength, you're going to use those right here. So Jeannie, a practical example in the kitchen, Jeannie didn't like to cook. But she loved making desserts. Great, Jeannie, she became the baker and the cake maker and the cookie maker. Jacqueline, on the other hand, loved to cook. And she, you know, we gave her the family budget when she hit high school and literally let her have at it.
Wow.
I mean, it surprises people that I say I did that. But she was, I could see how she set the table and how she wanted to organize food. And I just gave her this option. I said, hey, we're going to give you the money for the whole grocery budget. You make the menu, you cook whatever you want. Just make sure there's enough for 7 of us. And if it burns or it doesn't taste good, that's okay. We can all have PBJs.
Right.
and when you do that, you don't have to do the dishes. So that's always a big draw.
Right.
You don't have to clean the kitchen. So I'm giving you like snippets into just like our lives because
sure.
There's such different characters with different bends. And Tyler became our resident videographer. He would make all the home movies. And Jonathan became truly the communicator. He would go out and he would know everybody everywhere within a matter of minutes, which was perfect because my kids, believe it or not, this is crazy. They're all introverts except Jonathan.
Mm, interesting.
And when I started this off, I said, pay attention. I noticed that. And so I didn't make my shy children be the conversationalist. They didn't need to be that. Life is going to make them be
sure.
extroverted.
Yeah.
They don't have to be all they have to do is say hello, right? Just hello. Nice to see you. That's it. No conversation. John will pick up and he'll have the whole conversation. Those were some practical when they hit high school. Now, remember, we've built into this, God has wired you with unique strengths, gifts, and talents. We're going to celebrate each of your strengths and talents. When you stumble and fall, because that is a weakness for you, we will rally around you. We will all support you, and we will stand by you. There was such strength. And as I was writing the book of that, I interviewed the kids, and why are we so different? Why, what made it our family? And these were the things the kids said. They knew they always had each other's back. Mm. They knew when somebody was getting picked on, because yes, I mean, I don't tell this story very often, but my son worked really hard in high school to get a car, but we don't buy them their cars. He got a car, and then it was stolen out of our driveway.
Oh, wow.
And it was taken for a joyride, and it was torched.
Wow.
Because it was part of a gang initiation. Mm. And so we talk about that, and we share that point. I share that point because his identity, I saw those kids. We never saw them, but they longed to fit in somewhere. So they were willing to do whatever it took to fit in where they could feel loved, which is my next point. And how are we doing on time? We doing okay?
Oh, we're good. Keep on going.
which is the next point. We fostered an environment of unconditional love. And I hear that talked about a lot, but how is it really fleshed out? It's when they do the stupid things. It's when they do the foolish antics. It's when they make a sarcastic comment that fell flat and it hurt somebody's feelings. And they didn't mean to. It's giving them the presumption of innocence and then explaining it. So to do this well, you got to pay attention, and you've got to have margin in your life. And that's why the whole area of social media for me has become such a defining piece of what I like to talk about. Because if those encroach too deeply into our family, then that lure of what a gang does is what social media does to our children. It lures them away from us, where their identity can be secured and solidified and they feel a sense of belonging. Then they can feel it from a device where there is shallow relationships.
Right.
And we don't want that to happen. So going back to, we've got to pay attention to the little things that they say about each other. Are there little like innuendos, or maybe some hidden jealousy, or maybe some resentment? Don't let it go. Pull them aside, you know, take them away, part, you know, just privately, and ask them to unpack what's going on. Maybe like in some of my kids, they just didn't feel like they were smart because their brother did so well. And that was an issue we nipped in the bud very early. And so when high school came, we helped them find an area that they excelled. Jeannie's was music. Tyler's was videography. Jacqueline was cooking. Jonathan was basically he was a friend to everybody. He played, he did everything. And Paul, of course, he did basketball. And we cheered for one another. And we did things constantly as a family.
I love that.
The one thing I write about, Yvette, is I don't see it happen as much anymore. We always opened our home for the teenagers and the middle schoolers. And it's dangerous because things get broken and, you know, they eat you out of house and home. But what we found is when the kids' friends knew our house was open, we could hear the conversations that were taking place. Oh, we could see a sibling was being shunned. We could see, what kind of friends are you actually hanging out with? And then we got to be our friends' kids. And to this day, our friends' kids still want to hang out with us.
I love that.
Still want to hang out with us. And those are some of the things that we did. We paid attention to the little things. Don't wait for the massive issues to happen. Just pay attention to the body language.
I hope you were encouraged by my conversation with Connie. As we were talking, our conversation was going so well that I didn't want to cut it off and have you miss out on the wisdom she shares concerning the teen years. So be sure to listen to the rest of the conversation on part two. Also, by signing up for Connie's newsletter at ConnieAlbers.com, you can receive Connie's free ebook, 5 Fears Every Mother of Teens Faces and How to Overcome Them. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.